Welcome to the AI Business Podcast, where we feature conversations with interesting guests at the intersection of artificial intelligence and business.
This is Deborah Yao, the editor of AI Business, and I'm here with Jasmeet Singh, Executive Vice President and Global Head of Manufacturing at Infosys. Welcome.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you for having me.
So Jasmeet, tell us about your company and what you do.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me, Deborah, first of all. So my name is Jasmeet Singh. I lead manufacturing globally for Infosys. Infosys is a next generation digital and consulting services company. And our purpose is to create to amplify human potential and create the next opportunity for people, businesses, and communities. We are about $16.5 billion in revenues, global company, about 330,000 people strong. Work with the Fortune 1000 companies, as well as many startups and upcoming companies as well.
So one of the most exciting things in manufacturing is the concept of digital twins. But how do you think the metaverse plays into that? And what is the metaverse?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And there's a lot of definitions going around the metaverse. It's obviously, in many ways, it's a new concept, but also it's been around for a long time. I'll come to the digital twins part of it. I think that's just one part or aspect of the metaverse. Really, at the crux of it, the way I look at it is the metaverse is nothing but providing an immersive virtual experience. And it is an amalgamation of a number of technologies, right? It's the augmented reality, virtual reality, the IoT, and of course, like you mentioned, the digital twins. So all of these things coming together, is kind of a digital first mindset with collaboration on steroids. And collaboration is very, very key in this, right? So that's the way I think we should look at how a metaverse or what is a metaverse. Digital twins is nothing but the embodiment of a physical product or a process, in the digital world. And it is made possible because ultimately it's a mathematical model and it relies on data to actually make the digital twin of the physical.
You mentioned there are several definitions of metaverse going around, and certainly there's one that NVIDIA is promoting, the Omniverse, which is more pertinent to you in manufacturing. But there's also one that Mark Zuckerberg of Meta is promoting, which is a consumer type of metaverse. So can you differentiate between the two maybe? And which one do you think perhaps will have more traction?
No, I think, first of all, the metaverse is going to be all of those things, right? And it's going to be much more than just the B2B world. It is obviously going to be also driven by the consumer world. And so there is no one person, product, or company that is, I think, going to be at the crux of it. It's actually a coming together of many, many things. What you cited on the NVIDIA Omniverse. I mean, there's enough that is written about how BMW used it. It's going to be very successful. I think it provides the wherewithal to really be successful in that area. On the Meta, obviously, they are betting big on this being the next for them as a company. And, consumers, I mean, if you look at the amount of time even children and what to say about adults are spending on gaming as an example, on being in the digital or the social media, it is bound to happen that, we start participating so much more than what we are already doing. And so as technology, as the computing power, as all of these things evolve, and like I said, as other companies start collaborating in this digital medium, you will find traction across all of these areas. And really, I think we are at the cusp where, it's going to accelerate. It was accelerated through the pandemic, and is going to accelerate more because I believe that we are hitting that tipping point.
So there are two things that could actually hamper the growth of the metaverse or maybe even accelerate it if they solve it. And one is obviously the headset issue. Do people really want to wear the headset? Maybe for industrial uses, there's a reason to do it, but for consumers, like most people don't even own a VR, AR headset. And the second is standards. You know, you said that metaverse isn't just one company, it's a bunch of companies coming together, and obviously you need interoperability. So what would you say to those two things, about those two things?
Yeah, I mean, my world is more from a business perspective, and Infosys is participating in that. Now, of course, we work across industries, including retail and consumer. So obviously, anything that touches the consumer as well is very, very relevant because it's relevant for the companies that we work with. And of course, as employees as well, right? And talent is a big part of it. What you touched upon are some of the challenges. And I think, you know, but we will overcome these challenges, right? And already there is a lot of evolution that is happening. The way I would look at it is it's like adapt, right? So A is for affordability. I think clearly it needs to be something both in the business world as well as in the consumer world. It needs to be affordable. And like you said, it needs to be user friendly. And again, there is strides that have been made in terms of the evolution there. The second I would say is the desirability. And in many ways, this is probably the most important aspect of it, right? And in the business world or across industries, it is what we would call the use cases, right? Are there good enough use cases where you can deploy these and that will find the traction and will provide the benefit? It's obviously very complex, it's distributed. So desirability, the second. The A in the adapt is, I would say, availability. Right now, it needs to be available both from a technology and also from a computing power perspective. And again, you know, there is a lot of progress that is being made here. I think the privacy and security aspect is also extremely important. And, you know, this is also one of the challenges or the hurdles that one has to overcome if it is going to see the potential that exists in this coming together of technologies. And lastly, I would say is talent, right? Let's not forget, I mean, of course, a lot of the kids today are spending a lot of time in this kind of a medium and are experimenting there in many ways, learning things a whole lot better. But there is a whole aspect of training and talent that is also going to be very key for this to be successful. So those are some of the things that I would, or, you know, that I look at and we look at Infosys when we look at the metaverse.
So how would businesses get started in the metaverse? How do you get started? What do you focus on?
Yeah, I mean, I think, the pandemic obviously accelerated many, many companies and industries into a digital-first mindset, right? Because there was really no other way of doing things. And a lot of the companies, you know, it was a matter of survival. I mean, you know, many of the things that are happening today, whether, you know, you can shop completely online and actually pick up at the store, that became so seamless and so easy. You can try out things. You can actually, I mean, who would have thought that we would buy entire homes without even stepping into the home and actually get the entire virtual tour done very, very well, right? And almost being there. But there was no choice in that matter, right? Now, this is obviously progressing. So a lot of the companies have actually experimented here and are actually improving things, right? So there is a lot that is happening there. I think what is next here is in terms of collaborating across, let's say, the various partners, the supply chain itself in manufacturing, for example. So it's cutting across, and that's what the metaverse is. It's not only in terms of what you do privately, but you enable almost like, you know, people to be able to create as well as consume on a platform, and you are going to be able to interoperable transfer across these. And when you actually realize that potential, then you are truly in the metaverse. But, you know, that's a distance away, but we are making good progress. And so people are experimenting there. Now, at Infosys, we actually jumped on this quite early, and we have a metaverse foundry that we came out with. And this has an entire repository and use cases across industries where, you know, we are able to accelerate right from the incubation to the innovation aspect, and then the scaling or the industrialization of this as well. So there are many ways that we are doing it at Infosys, and there are some great examples. I mean, you only have to look at what we are doing with the Australian Open as an example, where you know, we did a digital store for them. You know, you as a player, or not as a player, as a person who's observing or wants to watch a match, can actually watch it along with friends in and choose the seats and actually see the match itself, right? So those are things that people have started trying out, leveraging the Metaverse Foundry with us. And so, you know, I think somebody like us can truly help there and accelerate this medium. The complexity for companies, by the way, what we have also done is we have set up innovation centers of excellence, virtual living labs where people can experiment with us, and we can bring in partners as well to actually co-create and see what are the use cases that would make sense for the companies or the industries that we deal with.
So is it necessary to be in the metaverse, or how critical is that for businesses to be engaged in this?
Well, I think it is the future. It's if your consumers are going to be spending a whole lot of time in the digital medium, then you have to find as a business a way to engage them. And remember, you may not need it the way, and in any case, it is not available in the avatar that we would want it to be right now. There's progress that needs to be made there. But if the future is going to go there, then the people and the companies that actually invest in this to come up with the use cases with technologies that will further their cause, and they can get a leg up. So if you want to innovate and you want to be able to capitalize on this opportunity, then you have to actually spend time in the metaverse. Now, we did a very interesting workshop with us with a client, and you know, the CEO also came and actually looked at all the use cases, what would be the possible or the art of the possible in the metaverse. And like I said, people are actually experimenting with that and seeing what they have, how can they further that, right? So so I believe it is truly where the future is going to be, and therefore the time is now to actually start spending, you know, putting dollars as well as investing time and people and energy into this area.
So you mentioned use cases. Can you like give us a few examples of use cases that really resonated with people?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I talked about talent and training. Clearly, you know, that's a big one, right? Training, particularly in areas where, it could be hazardous, you know, it's better to actually try and do it in the digital medium and make it as real as possible before you actually do something. But you can accelerate training, and we have done that certainly for companies and for ourselves as well. You talked about digital twins. I think that is also another one that is finding a lot of traction. Say, for example, in aerospace, right? I mean, you can create the digital twin of an entire engine and actually do predictive modeling on it, see where where a fault could occur, how can you actually repair it. You can again use it for training. So many aspects around the digital twin itself. I think the other thing is also in terms of product design itself, right? So I talked about the repair and, you know, when a physical product has already been made and you create a digital twin. But now you can actually, and people are doing that, to actually create the digital piece first and then get into the physical, right? So the cost of actually doing that is much lesser. You get better designs. You can actually look at even things like, you know, carbon footprint reduction before you actually go and build it, right? So you can kind of test drive it, right? So there are many, and you know, I touched upon the retail store itself. You can try out things, see how it looks on you personally, and you can actually take it from the digital world into the physical and actually purchase it physically as well. So all of these use cases are already in play. I think what, like I touched about, the collaboration piece across various entities, across distributors, across the value chain, those are the things that need work on to actually get this to be accelerated even further and realize the potential.
It seems that the ROI for industrial uses of the metaverse is pretty clear. But perhaps for the consumer B2C side, maybe not so much. You did mention retail, but what else? How else can you monetize metaverse in a B2C case?
No, so B2C cases, I mean, you know, it is finding traction. I mean, you look at what Nike has done, you know, almost every company is experimenting into this and actually has made strides. So I think that ROI is already here, right? So I don't think that, you know, if your consumers are spending a lot of time and are in the digital medium and you create something that actually they are able to then go and consummate a sale or further your brand, then the ROI is there. It's no different than what you're doing right now with physical storefronts or with whatever, you know, you have from a physical standpoint. Industrial and companies in the manufacturing space obviously have a lot of use cases also, and we are doing a good amount of work with them. But I think it's already here.
Wonderful. So how about the cost of getting started in the metaverse? I'm sure there's a range depending on what you want plan to use it for. But generally, how should enterprises think about that?
Well, clearly, there is, you know, I touched upon the affordability aspect of it. And that is obviously key here, right? So it's not only the affordability in terms of the cost of actually bringing these technologies and to actually get the virtual world in this at a cost effective and in a usable fashion. It is also the talent and the digital talent that is required to be able to do this, right? So there's a cost attached to that also. So, you know, these are some of the things that one has to weigh in mind. But, you know, I would still say that if you are able to actually do these things, particularly in the digital medium, before you actually go and build things, for example, you reduce the overall cost. So, yes, there is a cost of creating these virtual replicas, if you will, of the physical facilities or training the teams and the usage of the basic computing infrastructure. So definitely that is required. And like you had touched earlier, the evolution of the hardware and the software itself, the VR goggles or the AR devices that need to be there, those are things that one has to factor in. And then there is the cost of change management as well, right? For employees to actually adopt this new way of collaboration and working with each other. But hey, I think it's still very, very cost effective. And in a world where we are still operating, particularly in the tech world, we are still operating primarily in virtually, to bring and collaborate people together is going to further the innovation, and I think it's a much lesser cost than actually doing it completely physically.
Do you think that one possible option to bring down the cost and complexity of this is to have a metaverse as a service?
Well, you know, the metaverse foundry is aimed at that, right? It is aimed at us being able to power, and by the way, we don't have you know, it is an ecosystem. It is working with partners, but it is coming together so that companies are able to actually accelerate, fail fast, and leverage the best that is out there in a fashion or in a manner that is cost effective. so that the cost is less and you can fail fast and you'll experiment faster. No one company has the wherewithal to go it all alone. And in any case, the entire distributed aspect of it requires people to work together in this.
So can we, that's a very interesting product. And we touched on that earlier as well, the Foundry. Can you go step by step and give us more details about how one gets started in the Metaverse Foundry?
Well, like I said, you know, it's we actually span the entire the incubate, the innovate aspect of it, and then the industrialization. So the way we would do it is we would come together, depending on the industry or the client that we are working with, see what are the use cases that already exist, because we have a huge amount of domain expertise or understanding across the industries. And more importantly, even cutting across industries, right? So spanning multiple industries, we are able to, as a team, work together collaboratively, bring the understanding of the client, do it almost like a design thinking workshop, and actually come up with what makes sense for them so that they can experiment with us. We can bring the startup ecosystem. We bring the use cases that we already have, as well as the artifacts or the reusable components that we have to be able to accelerate some of the things that they want to do in their world. And, you know, it's important to understand that the reusability aspect of it is key. Because we are ahead of the game, because we have already done many use cases, and some of them are absolutely in the public domain, for example, what we did with the Australian Open, that there is applicability that is there across the use cases that people may be thinking of, all right? And we ourselves are experimenting with this in the metaverse ourselves. So what we do for our employees, as an example, including in the training world, we can actually replicate it for our companies that we work with. So, you know, it is a step-by-step process, and we can absolutely collaborate, with our clients across these things.
What kind of time frame are you talking about when companies join the Metaverse Foundry from concept to actually have a working proof of concept?
Well, it depends on the kind of use case, right? So if you are talking about, a very complex product, for example, that you want to design, it's not that, okay, look, it's not like your regular waterfall kind of technology, right? You will experiment, you will see something, and you can tweak it very quickly, and you can see the results. It's also dependent on what you have already that we can build off. The answer to that, as in many things, it depends. What we have been able to do with clients is very, very quickly as well, in a manner of 3 months, to be able to come out with something that is phenomenal. And we have also had the digital assets. So we acquired a company that is absolutely phenomenal, particularly from a manufacturing standpoint, Oddity in Germany. And the work that they have done is wonderful in this space as well. And so we are able to accelerate, particularly on the product or the physical side, quite rapidly, right? Particularly, for example, in automotive, right? So we have been able to do that. Training, I think, is another one, right? And that's a big one. And you had talked about, some of the other use cases. So even field service in the manufacturing world, or in what to say of other industries, that is another one that is actually a low-hanging fruit that we can actually do very, very quickly along with our clients. So it really depends. But if you take a very complex product, for example, an aircraft engine, and you're trying to change or you're trying to design, these are years in the making. But the thing is, the important thing to note is that the cost of not getting it right, as well as of getting to things that may not have been possible in the earlier world or only in the physical world, is the power of being able to do this, but that will take time.
I see. When one of your clients uses the Foundry, they what do they leave with? And is that a scalable model? Is that a model that they can put in production already, or that's another step?
No, absolutely. So I think, look, the Metaverse Foundry is, like I said, it's a mechanism for us to bring together things for them, for the client to accelerate and bring all our knowledge, all the partner ecosystem, all the reusable assets that we have to be able to get to whatever they want from a business perspective faster, right? Ultimately, it will go into production. So that's, and we have done that. I mean, there are things that are already there in the public domain, like I talked about the Australian Open, but there are public, other use cases that we have developed too, whether it is in retail or in manufacturing. And, it is ultimately for them to actually take it into the physical world as well as in the digital world and combine these two to their benefit. So it absolutely goes into production. It is not a concept that we are working on. It is a concept to actually implementation or to production, if you will.
So what are some challenges that companies can encounter when they start to tiptoe into the metaverse?
Yeah, I mean, with so many organizations actually launching or looking to launch the metaverse initiatives, I mean, there's bound to be a surfeit of metaverses, right, if you will. And this aspect can create challenges in terms of, let's say, how a manufacturer would interact with a metaverse of a supplier. That's where the friction can come in. And, you have different tools that each one company uses. Privacy is another one that I talked about that is a big concern. And it is not only limited to the consumer or the entertainment world, right? The other thing I would say is the compute and transmission capacity, right, that is needed. It is at a different level altogether. And lastly, like I touched upon, the talent or the training of team members in the skill sets that are required to design, to create, to constantly keep these virtual workspaces updated. Those are the things that people need to grapple with as they go further along this journey.
Great. So what are some best practices you can share with us that companies need to keep in mind when they're attacking the metaverse or getting into the metaverse?
Yeah, I think here I would say the age-old dictum of, crawl, walk, run, applies. I think it's important to the virtual world before actually physical to avoid the rework, to get things first time right, is one of the things that I would say. The other is, like I talked about design thinking, the implementation of the design thinking in the virtual world to kind of recreate, scenarios or situations. I think it's important to also have, to create the scalability, you should establish a library of, the assets that you create, the virtual assets, and that's what, the Metaverse Foundry is. So if you will, create one of your own. And instead of replicating a current physical experience, I would also say is to reimagine the experience itself to maximize the benefits of the metaverse, right? So it's akin to what we had in digital as well. You first thought of everything being physical to digital and just replicating. And here you have the opportunity to actually do things differently. So what I talked about first when we were talking about the digital twin, it is actually starting with the digital or the metaverse first kind of mindset as well, right? Rather than the physical and then translating into the metaverse.
Wonderful.
So these are some of the things, Deborah, that I would wanted to share.
Wonderful. This has been a fascinating conversation. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, first of all, again, thank you for having me. Like I'd mentioned, I think if your consumers, if your markets are going into this realm, it's important for companies to actually invest in this, to experiment, There is a lot of value, and even to test drive some of these things, right? So a metaverse first kind of mindset is important. And like I talked earlier, it's a digital first with collaboration on steroids that one needs to kind of look at. I think people will see a lot of success in this across whether it's the consumer world or whether it is the industrial world as well.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure, Jasmine.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you for having me.
To get more AI news and insights, visit our website at aibusiness.com. Until next time, thank you for listening.